From Clocher Valley in County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us as Gospel Minister the Reverend Peter McIntyre is here to let the Bible speak and preach Christ in all His fullness.
Hello there, good afternoon. We're glad to have you join us for these 15 minutes gathered around the Word of God. In a few minutes I'll be reading again from Romans chapter 4. We'll be picking up where we left off last week concerning the true message of Easter. Today we're going to be thinking about the power of Christ's resurrection. Before that, here's Catherine Mitchell singing. Again, we're turning to the book of Romans 4. We're beginning at the verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not, as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Last week we began a two-part study into the real meaning of Easter. You have had your holiday. Let me ask you, did you take time to consider the spiritual meaning which lies at the heart of the season? Perhaps you visited a church, but know that you will probably not return to publicly worship God until Christmas. If that is so, then the central truth of Easter has been lost on you. Christ came, you see, not that you might be occasionally religious. He came in order that you might enjoy a new and radically different life. The truth of Easter is summed up beautifully in the verse 25 of the passage we have read in Romans 4. Here we observe the two pillars of the gospel. Last week we considered some thoughts for Good Friday from the phrase, Christ was delivered for our offences. There the emphasis is upon his sufferings on our behalf. Today we look at the power of Christ's resurrection from the words, he was raised again for our justification. Firstly, please think about the power by which he arose. Last week we drew your attention to the fact that the Lord was delivered to the cruel death of crucifixion by the will of his Father. As the Father sent his Son to the cross, so likewise it was the Father who raised his Son from the dead. In Ephesians 1 verses 19 through to 20, we read these words, "The working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead." On that resurrection morning, the process of death was reversed in the life of our Lord. Just a few days earlier, his death was witnessed by a great multitude who gathered around the hillside of Calvary to watch. When he was wrapped in the grave clothes, embalmed with the precious ointments and laid in the tomb, it was apparent to Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who buried him, that he was dead. His corpse was cold, his form was lifeless. As the great stone was rolled across the entrance of that tomb, the end of the man Jesus appeared to be final. But on the morning of the first day of the week, the stone was rolled away. There was no body found in the tomb, only the grave clothes. Then Mary Magdalene saw him, the disciples saw him, two followers of Christ who walked on the road to Emmaus had a conversation with him. He spent the next 40 days with his disciples, at the end of which 500 people saw him ascend into heaven. These are historical facts. If 500 people witnessed a bank robbery and could identify the perpetrators, an arrest warrant would immediately be issued. The facts would be beyond dispute. In the days of Paul, he said there were at least 500 people who saw the resurrected Christ. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 15 and 6. Paul furthermore claimed that the majority of these witnesses were alive at the time of writing to the Corinthians. Therefore, people knew the names of these witnesses, where they lived, and what they worked at. If a questionnaire was given to these people, they would have answered the question about Christ's resurrection in the same way. Yes, we saw him. Jesus is alive. You see, you cannot dispute this kind of reasoning. Historically, the facts all point to the power of God raising his Son from the dead on the third day. Obviously, this fact made a powerful impact upon the world of the first century AD. From a few devoted followers in Jerusalem, the Christian church spread west into Syria, modern-day Turkey, across the Aegean Sea into Greece, and on into Italy. Wherever the message went, people gave up their pagan idolatries, and their immoral lifestyles followed a new pattern. Since the first century, the message continued spreading further west, deep into the heart of Europe, east towards India and China, and eventually across the mighty Atlantic, reaching the Americas. All this as a result of the fact of the resurrection. Either the resurrection is an historical fact with which we cannot argue, or it is the greatest and most convincing fraud ever perpetrated upon mankind. Let me tell you about Frank Morrison. He was a student deeply impressed with the personality of Jesus as an example to us all. He did not, however, believe that Christ was God, and he did not believe in the miracles that Christ did. This means he saw Jesus as a moral leader, but most certainly could not accept the truth of the resurrection. He set out to write a book about Jesus from his own unbelieving point of view. As he sifted through the evidence available from the four Gospels, he became struck with the genuine nature of the accounts. He was impressed with the manner in which four writings by four different authors actually corroborated one another. Frank Morrison, you see, as he came to look at the four Gospels, was expecting the opposite, a multitude of contradictions. He arrived on what he called an unexpected shore. The skeptic became a believer, and the first chapter of his book about the resurrection of Christ was entitled The Book That Refused to Be Written. I would like to challenge you today to do what Frank Morrison did. Approach the Bible with an open mind, and you will discover the greatest event in history, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, please consider the power that he gives. Our text tells us that Christ rose again with an express purpose in mind. This purpose was that we might be justified. Let me explain this word justification. The opposite of being justified is to be guilty. To be justified is to be acquitted and declared innocent of any wrongdoing. We are a guilty people, having broken God's law times without number. Christ rose again in order that we might be justified or declared innocent before God's law. Therefore, the power of Christ's resurrection gives men an opportunity to be made innocent before a holy God. Last week we showed you how Christ died as a substitute for our sins. When he died, he completed the work he came to do. He cried from the cross, "It is finished," which meant that the work of suffering God's wrath for our sins was completed. Because he was successful in dying for us, he was able to be raised from the tomb on the third day, because the Father had accepted his offering. Therefore, the resurrection was the proof that Jesus Christ had successfully borne the punishment of the guilty. Therefore, the Saviour who rose again gives sinners the power to be justified. We can only be saved through a Saviour who died and rose again according to the Scriptures. The resurrection is therefore a most vital truth. Paul highlighted this in 1 Corinthians 15:14, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Always remember that the Saviour we pray to is not fixed to a cross. He is alive because he rose again. This power from the resurrection makes us innocent in that Christ forgives sins. Your sins can be blotted out and will never be recalled by God because of this power. You can have absolute and total peace for now and for the future through him. How can you receive this forgiveness? In 1 John 1:9 we read, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The one who is now alive will be just enough to forgive your sins if you confess them to him. Then you will have assurance that you have received eternal life. Remember what Jesus said in John 14:19, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Will you not today, where you are, confess your sin to this wonderful Saviour and receive the peace that your sins are forgiven by the power of the resurrected Christ? I pray that you will. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. If we can be of any further spiritual help, or if you would like to receive some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Reverend Peter McIntyre, 13 Willand Crescent, 5 Mile Town, County Tyrone, BT75OQL. That's Let the Bible Speak, Reverend Peter McIntyre, 13 Willand Crescent, 5 Mile Town, County Tyrone, BT75OQL. You may hear Mr. McIntyre preach each Lord's Day here in Clocker Valley Free Presbyterian Church at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8952-1611. 028-8952-1611. We assure you of a very warm welcome at all the services and look forward to having you visit with us. Thank you for listening today. May the Lord richly bless you, and don't forget to tune in on this same station at the same time next week, when once again we turn to the Scriptures and let the Bible speak.